Good evening. It's always good to see you. And in the evening, I'm always thankful that you came back. And at the same time, I will apologize to Renee. I forgot to sit in the back. You know, communication, we talk about communication in my classes at home. I tell you that it's not all by words, I promise. Because the look I got when I got up here has told me something. So tonight I want to talk in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is a passage that we know, but I want us to consider again and to consider a specific within it. So let's read Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, good and acceptable and perfect. And so, for me, and I don't know about you, but you know, I take these things, and I know that in all seriousness, that God intends for us to be what he would have us be. And yet there's a time when, is the statement bigger than I think I can be? That I be a living sacrifice, okay? And I take that, that to me seems to be big. Can I live up to that? Would I offer my body as a sacrifice? And a holy one because of the manner in which I live, those types of things. Can I be acceptable to God? And then when I say that, and to what degree? And you follow the line. And if this is your service to God, is it what you would use to describe your service? In other words, so how is it that you serve God? Please tell me what it is that would identify you and the identifier as being a Christian. Would you say, because I'm a living sacrifice? That's not generally the first thing off my lips. That I, I do certain things and I do them regularly and thank you very much. And yes, they are driven by what God has said. But I don't declare myself this way. So, then it goes on to make the statement as well, do not be conformed to this world. So how do you live surrounded by common thinking and then yet not be overwhelmed by that common thinking? One of the things that we've been talking about ever since I've gotten here and is always on my mind is that I don't want to put a simple answer on a complex problem. I don't want to give a pat answer. I want to be thought out in at least some level that I understand what I'm doing and why I do those things. And you can see that. And yet if I were to look around and say when people take classes, we, maybe because of our school system, were told to regurgitate the answer I want you to give me. And consequently, are we affected by that? I think, yeah, even in the church, that we can be affected by that. Is there anyone that thinks that we're not influenced by the things that go on around us? Do you think our society has not had effect on the church? And of course it does. Can we be made to conform to societal and governmental rules? And I would say to you, and I'm not really trying to make a big deal out of this, I'm just trying to get us into the right spot, but the sense that as long as I know that that is going against what God would say, that that has an angle that I don't want to be a part of, I will resist because I'm given to God. But if I don't see the danger in it, do you see I could be influenced? And actually become something that I really don't intend to be because of it. Would the traditions of our country influence Christianity? And we've been talking about that for a long time. And yes, the answer can be. So when I take all of that and you understand in the complexities of what I'm talking about, that you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, and so now you know why the title of the lesson is Transformation. And I'm asking you about that transformation as we consider it. What is the difference between conformity and transformation? What enslaves us to remain in our thinking, and what motivates us to transform ourselves? And then, of course, to what degree and to how far? Are we to transform ourselves forever? Or is it the idea that we have some unstated goals that are within ourselves of what we think fulfilling this passage is about, and that my transformation, as I begin to reach more and more of those goals, that I have less and less transformation to do? I'm looking at your faces and I'm thinking, Daryl, you are some kind of weirdo. Who comes up with this kind of thinking? You know, and I'm saying, well, I do. So, anyway, and you, unfortunately, have to listen. So I have this story. It is said that a very beautiful statue of a Greek slave girl once stood in the marketplace of an Italian city. The statue represented the girl as a neat, well-dressed young lady. One day, a dirty, ragged little girl found the statue and for a long time stood and gazed at it with admiration and awe. She went home and washed her face and combed her hair. And before long, she went to the marketplace again and admired the statue again. Then she went home and washed her clothes. Each time she stood before the statue, she found desirable qualities to emulate. And finally, she was an entirely different girl. So, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit." And so as we're considering that, and Philippians 4, 8 and 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So now we have two passages that are given to us for consideration of where your mind should go. Here is something for you to go and gaze upon this. And now as you go and you look into that and you begin to see it, and is it the statue before you that of the slave girl that, oh, I want to be that way? Is that what I'm thinking when I go there? And so as we look at the little girl, she transforms herself into the image of the statue. First, she stops to consider what it is that she's seeing and what the statue represents. And she identified with it that it's of a slave girl, someone that is like I am, that is poor, doesn't have things and all that sort of thing. And yet she is stately and I am not. So what would it take for me to be better than that? That though I am poor, I would have worth in her own eyes. And as she approves what she sees, then there could be various reasons for that approval. And then she goes home and begins to compare herself with the statue. She approves of the look. She considers the look as compared to the status. She recognizes something that she has not considered, that even a slave girl can be presentable. And that in that presentation is a form of honor. So, she goes home to begin that transformation of herself into something that looks like the statue, and it takes more than one change in order to make a transformation. Now, y'all know that there's some things that I would like to change. And so I go home and I begin to try to work on the one thing. But that doesn't make for transformation. It makes a change in one thing. Then she comes back, looks again, and of course, as we can see, she begins to do that thing again. Okay, and more than one time of looking at the statue, more than one time of comparing herself okay, and more than one time at home to make changes until she begins to be what she wants to look like. Now, there's no surprises in that, but I want to ask the question now, what does conformity look like? The little girl is using a statue as the basis of changing her look, and if all little girls did so, it would produce all little girls looking alike. And so I want you to let that sink in for just a minute. Is that what we want? Is that what I want, to look like all others that are like me? So, if the goal of all little girls was to look at the statue, then they would be pleased to find that they look like every other little girl. So if that's what I was looking for, that the statue represents all little girls and all little girls should look like this, and then I start looking like that, and then I would count myself fortunate to look like other little girls because I think that's what it's supposed to be. The goal. On the other hand, everyone would be pleased if everyone agreed that the statue was the way to look, but not everyone does. And conformity to an agreed upon ideals that are righteous and good would have no resistance by adding another person. Do you see? I will remain who I am, yet if we add the good things God would have us be to who I am, I am conforming to what God would have be, and yet, is that desirable in all of us, that we may look alike in some things? Or must I transform into an individual unit that you've never seen before? That the Daryl Yance that many of you knew 40 years ago is not the same Daryl Yance that you see today, and that as we see those things. So that conformity to agreed upon ideals that are righteous and good have no resistance, you see, for adding someone else. And yet, conformity to disagreeable or evil looks or actions would bring about an aversion to conformity. I do not want to look like those that do not serve God. I want to look like someone who does. And as we do that, those that, if I choose the wrong place to conform, there's a problem. So individuals ought to offer themselves as living sacrifices unto God is not only acceptable, but the duty of serving Him. So the question all comes down to, have I done that? Is that who I am? Have I given myself to what God would have me be? Have I conformed in a certain way? And yet, what makes me individual if all I am is a conformity? And I want to suggest to you, it has to do with your willingness to be this person. In Romans 3, beginning in verse 21, it says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. But there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith." Now, you might want to read that more than one time, because it carries a lot of information toward this subject. Because we are the poor, dirty little girl, and we have found the look that we want to be like in Jesus Christ. That's what we've done. And then when we compare ourselves with Him and go home and begin to transform ourselves bit by bit, that's the idea of what we're doing. Then we come back and look again and again to make comparison as complete as we can make it. We look again and again, okay? And then the problem becomes when we begin to ask if we are as complete as we need to be in order to please God. And I'm asking that. How complete must we be in our transformation? The example is before us, but left in our on our own, the amount of transformation, because it is an individual decision of how much will I conform. Now I begin to talk off the cuff a bit, because I know each one of us has different things of which, oh, I read that and oh yes, that's exactly, God is exactly right on that subject, and that's exactly what I need to do. And we read those things and we read multitudes of those things, and then we come to the place where, wait a minute. Are you talking to me that I am to put my anger away completely? Or that every word that proceeds from my mouth is to be for edification? And if I don't have something good to say, how good must I be that I have been better and that I felt my progress and all those good things that I've done along those lines that have been what it should be and that I feel good about and all the things that and manners that it should be. I have those and they have built me and I am more toward the statue of what Jesus would be. I'm following. I'm being what I need to be. And then we come to that place where, wait a minute, that's going to ask more of me than maybe I'm willing to give. Now, will we continue the transformation or not? It's a good question. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 36, says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And so as I go back there and I look at my transformation, and that it is complete when I love God with all of my heart. When we talk about the woman, I mentioned this particular story affects me more than others, so you'll hear it more than one time. And for those that watch me, this can be one that you can add to the list. Okay, the woman who comes in to Jesus when she's with Simon the Pharisee and begins to cry, and then washes his feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, and those things. And then it goes forward, and that Simon doesn't understand, and we know the story until it comes down to the fact, your sins are forgiven. I make the point that the oil that she anoints him with is very expensive oil. And if it happened to have been nard, which is very possible that that's where what it was, that vial of nard could be a year's salary. And that she pours that out on him. She doesn't do what I do. The thing that I do is I have my oil that I have gained through all the things that I've learned. And here's a drop of my oil. Doesn't that smell good? I did this good thing for you, and oh, isn't that wonderful? She poured it out. She emptied the bottle. And then if you take that and you just put it in, take your salary, whatever it may be, would you donate your complete salary for the year to make a point for the Lord? I feel more like a rich young ruler. I couldn't do that. Things would fall apart. But could I? And I'm not talking about money. What about the rest of me that I could give? would I give like that? If I would not, which is where I am and why I'm telling you this, we talked about confessing who you are. I'm confessing who I am. Would I give my life for Christ? I've given my life. I've given some time. I give my money. I give my energy level. I think that I love God. I'm all the good things that I think are, that as I look at Jesus, that I want to be. But would I lay down my life for my friends? And I want to say yes, I would do that. That this life doesn't mean that much to me. And yet I know, as Wade always reminds us, you never know what you're going to do until you do it in those situations. And so, have I given all of my heart to my God? It's a real question. Because if I have not, my transformation is not complete. If I have not, I am not the kind of pleasing that I can be and maybe should be. It is in that moment that we have to understand no other person can be loved to the level that we love God. I can't love my wife more than I love my God if I love Him with all of my heart. It doesn't mean I can't love her too. It means that I can't love her more. No other manner of living can be loved as much as God's manner of living. No thinking, no personally or collectively, can supersede God's thinking. And if it's not so, then do I love God with all of my heart? Our actions are going to be what declare our love, and any action that Jesus did, I'm going to emulate as possible as long as it doesn't cost me too much. See? That's the place. That's where it hurts. Any action denied as being correct, I will avoid. My duplication of Jesus is more than the duplication of outward appearance of a statue. Because we are complicated creatures. And we know who we are. So that we, meaning each of us individually, and God knows. He knows your level. How far I have gone in an effort to duplicate Jesus, and how far I would go. And so I think that there's a trap that I'm trying to really talk about tonight. And it is this. There are those that would follow God's word in every detail and measure themselves by that detail. There are those that would follow God's love in every detail and measure themselves by their loving kindness in the same way others measure by the letter of what the law is. But Jesus is representative of both of those things. And so when I ask you the question, would you follow Jesus to the cross? Would you go and then die for what you believe in? You understand what I'm saying. Would you suffer without complaint? Would you forgive your murderer? We're pushing the envelope when we start on that line. Will you save the helpless? And will you care about those that you don't know? And all of those questions are important if we're going to transform ourselves into those that would be, quote, the children of God. So when we come back to the aspects of transformation, and I think that I have to do this. I think this is something I need to come touch on every so often. I want you to understand that when I ask you about your transformation, I want you to remember it's not in the eye of our detail of looking at Jesus that allows us to be approved. It is the detail in which we have actually copied what Jesus left as an example. That's how you measure yourself. And so, after a lesson like this, you ask the question, do you love Jesus? I feel like Peter. You know I love you, Lord. You know I love you, Lord. But Jesus, you denied me. I mean, Peter, you denied me. He knows. If I asked you how much do you love him, would you answer completely? And if we looked at your life, would we find you telling the truth, or have you been deceived? Would be the question. Because we're not copying a statue, we're emulating the best of the best. Have you begun? Have you become a Christian so that you can have your sins forgiven, or did you become a Christian to be like Jesus? And I ask that as a new question on a new day, whether you're not a Christian at all or whether you've one that's been one for years and years, what is your purpose in following Jesus? May our answers be correct. May God help us all. And may your faith and mine, may we help one another to do the thing that we think we should do. If you're not doing the thing you should do, if you haven't committed as you think you should, if you haven't gone as far as you know you can, and you need our help, won't you come as we stand and sing?